Welcome to Parshas Hashavua with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. Mishpatim comes right after Yisroel. Yisroel is the Parsha where we got the Torah. And then Mishpatim, the Torah launches into a range of different laws, mainly to do with damages, with civil laws, with the laws of slavery, with all different kinds of routine life types of laws, which the Torah begins with V'eile HaMishpatim, and these are the laws. And Rashi points out that the word ve'ela with a vav connects this parsha to the previous parsha, to tell us and to teach us that just like the previous parsha, we had the obvious connection between the mitzvahs that we have and Har Sinai, because everything was given to Har Sinai. It is important for us to realize that even the logical laws, the mishpatim, the things that are sort of things that are very rational and logical, like how we relate to other people, how we treat other people, damages and so on, those are also Misinai, they also come from Sinai, they're also part of the mitzvahs with equal holiness and equal importance. Now, the very first law of the Torah is that of Eved Ivri, what's called a Jewish slave. Rashi explains this is a situation where a Jewish person stole and did the wrong thing and then didn't have money to repay and essentially is sold by the Beis Din to a master. I say sold, it's not the slavery image that we normally think of. It's more like a complete committed lease, but like it is a slavery of sorts. And is sold to the master and needs to work for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, he goes free. And then we have the famous idea that at the end of 6 years, while he's in slavery, the master, if he comes in married, the master can give him another wife, as the Torah says, and he has to do all the sort of chores and jobs for the other and for the master. And then after 6 years, he goes free. And then at the end of 6 years, if he wants to stay on, he says, "Oh, haftias adini, I like my master, my wife, my children. I don't want to go free. This is a good life." So then the judges take him to the doorpost and they use an instrument called a marzeya, and he has to serve lo'olam, which normally means forever, but actually means till the 50th year, till the yovel, and at yovel they go free. What is the concept of piercing his ear after the 6 years? So Rashi explains two ideas. One idea is that the ear that heard at Har Sinai not to steal, this person went to steal, needs to have his ears pierced. And then the other pshat, because there is a situation of an Eved Ivri where the slave sells himself into slavery, and that's also inappropriate, even though the person didn't steal. But really, slavery is not a good thing, as the Torah explains to us, because at Har Sinai, we became Hashem's slave, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, and therefore the ear that heard that we are Hashem's servants and not servants to other masters, and yet the person went and became a slave to someone else, that is inappropriate, and therefore needs to be the ear needs to be pierced. The Das Kenim Balei HaToisus points out that the instrument that was used to pierce the ear is a marzeya. It says a marzeya has the gematria of 400. Now we know that the Golus of Mitzrayim, the exile of Mitzrayim, which actually started from the birth of Yitzchak, is 400 years. So Hashem is saying, we use a marzeya. Why? Because this hints to what Rashi is telling us, that Hashem says, I took you out of slavery after 400 years. And I told you, Li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that you are now my servants. And yet this person went and acquired another master, needs to be punished, so to speak, with a marzeya, needs to be punished with that instrument called marzeya, which has the gematria of 400 years, because he has forgotten this concept that he left slavery to become Hashem's servant after 400 years. The famous question on this is that if this is true, then why isn't the person's ears pierced as soon as he becomes a slave? If he stole, why doesn't he get punished right away for stealing by piercing his ears? If he sold himself into slavery and needs to be punished for taking another master, so he did that right at the beginning of the 6 years, why is it only after the 6 years when he wants to stay on that this sort of reminder or this injury to his body takes place to remind him that what he heard at Har Sinai was not properly executed or implemented? And there's many answers given, but one is suggested by the Kedushas Tzion based on a Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us something, that when Mashiach will come, there will be some nations of the world, some of our enemies, will come to Hashem and say, listen, it's not fair. If you would have given us mitzvahs, maybe we would have been connected to you as well. So Hashem will say, you know, I've got a mitzvah kala, a very easy mitzvah for you to do. It's called sukkah, just to build a sukkah, put some schach. Go and do it. So they will do it. And then Hashem will bring out a very, very strong son, like the son of Tammuz, the son of the northern hemisphere summer. And they will leave the sukkah and on their way out sort of kick the sukkah and reject the mitzvah, and therefore proving that they're not really interested in being committed to mitzvahs, particularly when it's uncomfortable. So you ask the question, we know with the laws of sukkah, if sitting in the sukkah becomes unbearable, a person is mitzta'er, says the Gemara. He has pain in sitting in the sukkah. Typically speaking, that's because it rained. But it could be because of heat. I don't know, we'd have to obviously ask a shayla with the rov exactly what level of heat. But if a person is incredibly uncomfortable with the sukkah, then he's potter, he's absolved from the mitzvah. So a Jew would also do the same thing if it rained or it was incredibly hot to the point of becoming unbearable, or there was insects there, or whatever the case is, he would be allowed to leave the sukkah. So why is there the complaint with this narrative of someone sitting in the sukkah and Hashem making it incredibly hot and he leaves the sukkah? And he says the reason is, in fact, that wasn't his question, that's the Gemara's question. He's sort of explaining it, right? So the Gemara says, mitztair potter min asukkah. Sorry, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara asked that question. If he's mitztair, he's potter, he's absolved. Says the Gemara, yes, he's potter, but did he have to kick the sukkah on the way out? In other words, when a yid sits in the sukkah and he's mitztair and he's very, very uncomfortable, it's raining, whatever the case is, and halacha says he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah and he kind of, it's too uncomfortable to sit there, so he leaves the sukkah. But he leaves with humility. He leaves as upset. He doesn't want to leave the sukkah. But he's upset. What can you do? Hashem made it rain. Hashem made it impossible to sit there, unbearable to sit there, so he leaves. But when we have someone that shows disdain for the mitzvah and he's sort of kind of happy to leave the sukkah, he gives the sukkah a kick on the way out, oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to sit in the sukkah anymore. That's a problem. So based on this principle, we can explain, the Gedusha Tzion explains the same idea with this effort. Everyone has Yetzirah. The Ganif, we can't judge him. He did an Avera, but he fell on hard times. He stole, he needed it for something. Obviously, that's not what he's supposed to do and not what you can do. It doesn't justify it. But you know, Nebuch, he probably regrets it. No, he is happy to do an Avera. The person who sells himself doesn't want, he doesn't have parnassah, he doesn't know what to do, he can't take care of his own livelihood. So he ends up selling himself to someone and he acquires a new master, something he's not happy about. So we don't punish him, we don't injure him. But after the 6 years, when he says, you know, this is a good life, a haftiya sadoini, I like my new master, I like these new circumstances, I can live with this, this is good, and I want to stay on, now you like what you're doing, that's a problem. When you like the wrong thing that you're doing, when you're enjoying the avera that you're doing, like kicking the sukkah, so to speak, then the judgment is different and the person deserves to be injured through the martzea, and that's why that thing happens only after the 6 years. Okay, now what I want to do is I want to share with you an idea in the parasha. So as we said, the parashas are very, very technical laws to do with monetary stuff and damages and so on and so forth. But we have a principle that all the mitzvahs are eternal and all the mitzvahs are applicable to everyone at all times. Now, we don't have Eved Ivri today, for example, and I'm not going to go into it now, but there are many, many explanations of how the spiritual concept of Eved Ivri applies to us today. But then there are laws that do apply today, but not for everyone. It depends on the circumstance. But yet, every mitzvah, there's a lesson. Every yitzvah, there's a spiritual way of performing the mitzvah. So I want to explain to you a halacha in this week's parasha and then share with you something that the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that is fascinating in terms of its spiritual application. Later on, we have a pasuk that talks about a shomer, a guardian. There are different types of guardians. There are different types of people who have to, if they look after things for someone else, the halachas that apply. One of them is a shomer chinam. If someone looks after something that belongs to someone else and looks after it responsibly, then that's the way to do it. And in a case of a shomer chinam, a person looks after it for free, he's not getting paid to do it, then if he looks after it responsibly, but he, let's say it gets stolen, then he's not responsible, he doesn't have to pay. But, says the Torah, a cold var pesha, but let's say he was negligent, he misused that article, and he went to Beis Din, and he was supposed to take an oath that he was not negligent. He says it was stolen. He says it was lost. So they asked him, but were you negligent? He says, no. So he takes an oath, and then it turns out that he was negligent. Then he has to pay double to the master. And the wording of the pasuk is, al kol dvar pesha, for any negligence, which really means, and then he went and he lied in his oath. But any negligence to do with shoyer, an ox that he was looking after, or chamoyer, or a donkey, or se, or a lamb, or salmo, or a garment, any of these things, and he comes to Beis Din and he says, ki hu zeh, this is what it is. Ki hu zeh. Now, there's a lot of halachic concepts we learn from that phrase, but that's not for now. And he says, ki hu zeh, this is what it is. Ad ha'lekim yovei shneim, they have to go to the court, and yishalem shnayim l're'eyu, and he should go to the judge, and then yishalem shnayim l're'eyu, if he in fact abused his oath, he must pay double back to his friend. What does all this mean spiritually? This is a technical thing. Not everyone, we don't take oath today. We have, not everyone looks after things, and not every time, not everyone's litigation for not looking after a picodon, a article from someone else. How does a simple person going about his own business learn this pasuk and apply it to him or herself in a spiritual way? So he explains the following based on a concept that the Tzemach Tzedek said. He says the following. Every Yid is a guard. Hashem gave us an neshama to look after. Every Yid takes an oath. The Gemara says, which is something brought at the very beginning of the book of Tanya, that before a person is born, mashbim oisai, the soul takes like an oath, it takes an infusion of extra koyach to go in the right way, to do the right thing, and to look after the neshama as long as it's in this world, in the body. But sometimes we mess up and we abuse our oath. Why do we mess up? Because we have also an animal soul. And every person has a different type of animal soul. And in this pasuk, the animal soul is explained in four ways. Shoyer, an ox. Chamoyer, a donkey. Se, a lamb. And salmo, a garment. It explains, and I'm just giving this over briefly, that these represent four types of weaknesses of a person's animal soul. A shoyer, an ox, is a violent thing. Ox is aggressive. So sometimes the animal soul manifests itself in a negative strength, that we're destructive, or we're aggressive, and we're not taking care of it. We have the choice to control, to stay on top of it, but we don't. So we let the shoyer, we let the aggressive self get the better of us. Or we have a chamoyer, a donkey. One of the ideas of chamoyer is apathy, complete apathy. Why do I say that? Because chamoyer is the concept that the Gemara says that a chamoyer is always cold. Apparently the Gemara says the chamoyer, afilu betkufas tamuz krirale, a donkey even in the height of the northern hemisphere summer in the month of Tammuz is cold. In other words, there can be amazing things happening about you, there can be amazing inspirational things, but you're cold to it, you're apathetic. Being cold is a recipe for spiritual disaster. What's a lamb? A lamb, by the way, each of these things can be done in the positive, but here's the negative application. A lamb, the Tzemach Tzedek says, is like a seh besura, a lost sheep, which means just someone who just follows, someone that doesn't have the strength to resist social pressure, someone who knows what the right thing to do is, but you know, says it's just too hard, everyone else is doing this, this is the fashion, this is the style, this is the modern culture, this is the values of the time, and has no backbone to withstand that pressure from society, from the social circle, and so on and so forth. That could be a very, very big problem. Kind of knows what the soul wants to do, knows what the right thing to do. But like Avram Avinu, it says, Echad Hoya Avram, he was one person, he fought the world, he went against the trend, the current, the seh, the soul, the lost sheep doesn't do that. Or it can be salma. Salma is a beged, a garment. And the word in Hebrew, the classical word for Hebrew for garment is beged. And beged also comes to the word livgoy, to rebel. Just non-compliant, not willing to fit in and to do what Hashem wants, but wants to just follow in their own pursuit of pleasure, routine, and not conform to what Hashem wants us to do. So those are all possibilities of why sometimes we are not faithful guardians, and we go against our oath that we took when we were born. And what do we say when we do that? We say, ki hu zeh, this is what it is. So he says a beautiful thing. Ki hu zeh. Hu is third person. Hu means something that's hidden. Zeh means a definitive thing. Zeh means this is what it is. Normally, the word zeh means there's only one thing you can say zeh about. Like the Yidden, when they came to the Yamsuf, they said, Zeh Keli, this is my God. Why? Divine revelation. God is permanent. God is eternal. God is the only true existence. God is the only thing, really, you could say, the true reality. You can apply the word Zeh. This is what it is, without ambivalence, without doubt. Hashem's reality, Hashem's existence is the only absolute true existence. Hu, something hidden, hu refers to a weak existence. A hidden existence, which is the world. Physicality, materialism, that's what should be who. But what does the person do? What do we often do when we abuse our oath? We say, ki hu zeh. We take something that's really who, something the world which is a flimsy, something like modern values, something like materialism, something like just is very materialistic, which is really who. It's a flimsy existence, it's a very weak existence, and we give it the importance and the prominence of zeh. We say, ki hu is really zeh. So we're in trouble. So what do we have to do? Says the pasuk, Ad ha'elokim yovoi shneihem. You have to go to Elokim. Elokim normally means God, but in this case, context, it means the judges. You have to get guidance. You have to go to a tzaddik. You have to go to a talmud chacham. You have to go to someone who can guide you on the way back. And when they guide you on the way back, what's going to happen is the process of tshuva. And we can always do that. We can always fix. But Yeshalem Shnayim L'Ra'ayu, we're going to have to try double as hard. And we're going to have to result in being doubly connected to Hashem. We know that we do tshuva. It is, we become out stronger and doubly as strong as we were before we even did the wrong thing. And that's part of our mission in this world. We all fail at some stage. But Adolekim Yovei Shnayim, when we seek guidance, Yeshalem Shnayim L'Ra'ayu, we end up learning double than we learned before. We end up learning, doing mitzvahs more than we did before. And we end up doubly as strong as we did before. And that's the lesson. The lesson over here is, the pasuk is outlining what can be the cause of our failure. But it can also tells us what is the route and what is the journey to reconnection and becoming a lot spiritually stronger and more connected to God than we were before. That's just one example how we take a mitzvah, which not always is practically relevant to all of us, but yet we could all fulfill it in its spiritual context. Have a good day and a very good Shabbos.